The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 7 minutes after 12 midday, Man in Line is on with Juliet MHK today. The Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, first elected in 2016, re-elected last year, one of the members for Onchan, and in charge of Education, Sport and Culture. Lots to talk about, whether it's this new scheme of training teachers on the Isle of Man. Of course, we've got a new teachers' pay deal going through. And I suppose we have to talk about the pools as well. Faster Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andy.
All right, good to be with you as well. So so how long is it now you've been Minister?
Since October.
Since October last year. Is it what you thought it would be when you went into the department?
It certainly is. Obviously, I was delighted to get the appointment as Minister for Education, Sport and Culture. As prior to being elected in 2016, I'd had 20 years' experience at Ballacomeen, largest secondary school, so I was very familiar with a lot of the issues. And obviously, when I was on the backbenches, probably was one I was the most vocal in getting an independent review into the department, and had a real understanding of some of the challenges and problems that were there. Pleased to say that I have seen progress and will continue to.
There's a lot of talk in infrastructure about breaking infrastructure up and it being too unwieldy. In the past, it's been education, then education and children, now education, sport and culture. Does everything sit well together as far as you're concerned?
Certainly. I've obviously worked in the department when it's been all three of those. And I do think there are areas that we do need to look at more closely. We need to focus on children and their best outcomes. And I have actually been doing a little bit of research myself into why children was dropped from Department of Education, and now it's Sport and Culture. And I think this government will be the one that makes sure that everything's aligned appropriately to deliver the best services to people.
Children, I think, are under a lot more pressure than they've ever been. And social media is something we always talk about when we take the programme to schools, and the pressure on children nowadays. Do you see more pressure? I mean, you worked in Bala for a long time. Is there more pressure on kids than there used to be?
I think there is. And obviously, you know, TikTok's a development that's come through since I was at Ballacomeen. I've sat with children that have been completely traumatised through social media when I was at Ballacomeen. And, you know, it is concerning. And, you know, we shouldn't be living our lives by social media. A lot of people do, politicians included. And I think we need to be realistic and have proper facts out there for the public, and that includes our students. And obviously it's a challenge in our schools for our teachers when there's social media elements to it. However, we do need to use digital technology in the right ways.
If you want to get in touch with Julie Edge, by all means, text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, or you can call 66 1368. And well, lots. By the way, if we've got time, but there are also a few questions about Onchan that I want to get to. First of all, let me see. We've got. Let's see who's with us now online. It is Julian. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy, and hi, Julie. Yeah, a couple of questions regarding the Southern Swimming Pool. Is the Southern Swimming Pool actually financially self-sustaining or even profitable, considering the figures that you gave to Tim Glover was that it only received £19,000 in extra subvention funding for a pool cover over the last 8 years, and it's also remained reliably open, as I go there all the time, whilst Ramsay and Peel have each received around £250,000 over the same time. And this kind of suggests to me that the Southern Swimming Pool is actually the most successful pool on the island.
Well, as you'll know, Julian, we are doing a full review into all of our pools, and I've become aware of the significant challenges in the southern pool since a new board has been put in place. You know, they are members of the local authorities in the area, and I've become aware of the challenges, and obviously the subvention that's been provided is being provided for what it is needed for in the pools. And I think you might be talking more about capital investment or revenue investment. I'm not sure what you're talking about. However, the full pools review is out there. It's gone out to consultation. We've got a company on board now, and it's key to deciding the future of community pools around the island. However, I'm really pleased with what the work that the current board have brought forward. I can see where some of the things which have been perhaps neglected by previous boards, and they've really taken on the challenge, and they're addressing the issues, I think, in the right way.
Well, Barbara Brereton, the chairman of the current board, said that the statement that was given was that they were not going, you're not going to give full help to them at the moment in terms of subvention. You're only going to pay for the heating bills. However, over the last 8 years, if Castletown Swimming Pools only had £19,000 and the other two have had £230,000 in one and £247,000 in the other, Southern Swimming Pools not had any maintenance or plant been paid for by subvention, which means they must have got it from receipts from people walking in the door, I would have thought, in which case they must be quite profitable if they haven't. And she also mentioned that the cafe's been losing £30,000 a year. Well, question one is, they still haven't asked for subvention, so they must be doing very well if they've got that drag weight on them all the time. So how is it that they, even from the sign of fairness, why can't you give them some of the money that they would have had in the past? I mean, if you look at the plant and maintenance, if you separate it out, the two other pools have had over £110,000 each to keep their plant and maintenance going, whereas Castletown hasn't had any. So when we hear about, oh, well, there's been issues with plant and maintenance, how do you square that? I mean, surely they should be given help immediately. And you've got two people facing redundancy, and the staff are very worried because, of course, they've got the axe on their neck waiting till next year for an external consultancy.
So I think it's the right thing that we are having this external review from all of the challenges that you've mentioned there. With regards to maintenance, does get carried out from funding from the department. However, these are independent boards operating the pools, and the local authorities do have the opportunity to increase their rates. None of the local authorities have done this for the pools for many years. The Southern have requested that, and we were prepared to bring that forward. However, it's a balance, you know, they have to balance their books. They're an independent board, and the department's subvention that goes out to the pools is the reason why we do need to do this independent review, and then the focus can be put around delivery of swimming facilities around the island.
Okay, can I just, pardon me, Julian, just ask, Julie Edge, why do we have to have an external review? I mean, doesn't anybody know how to run pools on the island?
Yes, they certainly do. However, if I got the NSC team in to look at the regional pools, there would always be challenges. I think it's right to get an independent body that's a professional in this field. I understand they might well have already done this in Jersey and possibly Guernsey. So I think it is the right thing, and the best thing to present to the people of the island is that review, and then decisions can be reached as to regional pools around the island.
Okay, Julian?
However, Knight, Cavanaugh and Page, the consultancy firm that you've announced that will probably do the review, Luton Council had one pool reviewed and it cost £75,000, and you're talking about multiple pools. So have you had a quote for how much this review is going to cost? Is this in the multiple hundreds of thousands, if that's the case?
So when we put an expression of interest out, it's all done through the procurement process of government, and that will have been dealt with by the department and the Attorney Generals. And they weren't the only people that come forward, I believe. There was others. So it will be the best value in what's required for this review on our island.
But wouldn't it be better to actually have a proper opening of the books for the last 8 years and see what the previous board has been doing? Because if they've been having major problems with the cafe and they've also not had any subvention payments, well, we need to look at, I mean, perhaps the previous predecessor to Barbara Brereton should come on and explain how it's got to this situation, because this hasn't just happened yesterday.
And certainly, you know, you're right. They should have been raising their concerns. And obviously, you know, there are private hirers of the pool as well. It's not just the cafe. But, you know, I'm pleased with the work that the current board are doing, and they are bringing the issues and problems to the attention of the department. And that's key. I can't say why that's not happened in the past when I, you know, I'm only minister from October. But hopefully this review will uncover all of the areas of concern. And obviously Castle Rushen Pool, Castletown Pool is the oldest, you know, it's 40 years old. So there are other challenges there, whereas the Peel and the one up north, they're much younger pools, as is the, you know, the NSCs obviously had some investment as well. But it's all pools on the island, including Ballycommeen Pool as well.
Okay, all right, Julia,
the youngest pools had. Okay.
Sorry.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Julie. Just need to move on. I just want to leave just one more question on pools, Julie Edge. How much danger is the Southern Pool in?
Well, certainly it's this review will give us the outcome of what we need for community right. pools on the island and the national pool. Obviously, the national pool's included in it because that's important to make sure full transparency. However, the NSC has other facilities and, you know, operates long hours as well. So, and obviously all the sport and opportunities are there as well. So the review, I think, is really key to the way forward for the future of community pools on the island.
Okay, and just briefly, if you would, how connected is the new pool, the new Southern Pool, and the new Castle Rushen High School?
Certainly, I'm only aware of the new Southern Pool from the planning right. application, which obviously I've seen was approved recently. Certainly no involvement from our department with regards to that. It's a private charity that's come forward with that proposal at the King William's College.
Okay. David, you're live with Julie Edge, MHK.
Hello, Julie. A few months ago now, I got in touch with you over the gaff training. And we've still got the situation where engineers are going to have to travel off island to renew the qualifications. And we've still got no training here in the gas industry for apprentices. Can you give me an update? Because this has been going on since January 2020.
Hi, David. Yes, and thanks. I remember speaking to you following the last programme and you contacted me. We have looked at this. We've looked at the current facilities on island. The provider that was being utilised by the department had said that our facilities were not fit for purpose for the training. Obviously, we've had that looked at independently and we are looking at ways forward to try and deliver that on the island. However, I think for all gas training, we need to make sure it's the right training and it's appropriate for the latest regulations and that people can access it.
Okay, well, have you got any sort of timescale? Because I know a lot of people in the industry have decided not to bother renewing their qualifications because of the cost and the time involved travelling off island, especially if your qualifications run out this time of year. Getting on the boat's a challenge, and the expense of that, and the 2 weeks loss of earnings, etc., etc. So it's nearly 2.5 years now, and to say that it's being looked into, you must have a very long telescope.
So obviously I only became aware of it most recently, you know, within the last sort of six to eight months. I'm happy, David. What I'll do is get the department to do some form of news release on where we're up to with that to make sure that everybody's fully aware of the progress that's been made.
Okay, that'll be most helpful, Julie. Thank you.
Okay, just finally, David, it's Andy here. What would you like to see happen?
Well, we need a facility up the college that's fit for purpose. I understand that. But it's not beyond the wit of man to get, if you've had an independent assessor in to say it's not fit for purpose, they will then give you the survey to say what's required and get on with it and do it. It should have been out to tender a year ago.
Okay, all right. We appreciate your call, David. Thanks for that. And another David with us on Man in Line. Hi, David.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Julie. A question for the minister, if I may, about the teachers' pay award. You last week imposed the award on the NASUWT. I'd like to hear your reaction, Julie, to that union's threat to escalate their current action, short of strike action, to potential full action, and the comments made by the union's General Secretary, Dr. Roach, in last week's press release. And I wonder, when you give your answer, can you reflect on some context for pupils and parents, especially given coping learning loss means many pupils are now well behind? Secondary school groups are continuing to be sent home, and a situation probably going to be exacerbated, let's face it, in the autumn. And many parents now feel the need to engage private tutors across the primary and secondary sector to ensure their children receive an appropriate and fit-for-purpose education.
Hi, David, and thanks for calling in. Obviously, yes, we had the majority of unions accept the pay deal. I felt at that point it was fair to ensure that we got some funding into our teachers' pay as soon as possible, and we've agreed to continue with the negotiations. Do I agree with comments from some of the unions with regards to we need a multi-year pay deal? Yes, I do, and I do believe that this government agrees with that as well. However, there are challenges. It's not just teachers' pay, and we need to be realistic but make sure that we are retaining teachers on the island, that it's an attractive package. I believe that the London Fringe is an attractive package, and the 1% Isle of Man waiting is really important. I'm aware that teachers perhaps weren't fully aware of the offer that was in front of them. They are now, because I ensured that all teachers were informed individually of what the impact of this meant to their pay. With regards to the effect on pupils and parents, there are challenges. We've got challenges again, you know, with this spike in COVID at the present time. However, key is to make sure there's a minimal disruption to our children and their future prospects, and we need to address that. One of the ways we are addressing it is to make sure we've got cover supervisors in place to support the teachers, because one of the challenges is that they feel that they are doing too many covers for absent colleagues who, you know, could be off with various illnesses, but obviously COVID's had that impact. We are addressing that. We've said we will meet with them as soon as possible to start the negotiations going forward. We know that inflation has increased significantly since these negotiations started, but my key priority was to make sure some of our teachers, particularly on the lower scales, had an increase as soon as possible to help support them with some of the challenges they're facing.
Okay, Julie, can you confirm that the NASUWT demands were for 3 pay rises of 10, 12 and 8% over years to make up for the 30% shortfall they claim they've had?
I've heard of the the claims which have been made with regards to erosion of pay. Pay is the pay scale that is in place in the island is the UK pay scale. So what we are doing on the island is looking at ways to utilise that pay scale. I certainly don't feel that the profession should move away from the national pay scales because they might face bigger challenges going forward. And then we've put an Isle of Man waiting allowance on top of that. And I think that's really important. But what we do need to do is all continue to be communicating, negotiating and get the right pay for teachers on the island, to retain them on the island and also to attract new.
But in all honesty, do you think the NASUWT want to negotiate? Because it appears to me as a parent, they are hell-bent on confrontation, just like the RMT are across at the moment. We see General Geraldine marshalling her troops every week. And quite frankly, as a parent, many of the parents, we're getting fed up with the teachers and their attitude.
And what would you like the department to do, David?
They have to impose it and say, that's it. And they've got to stand, but they've got to have a plan B in case they go for full strike action. If the grass is so much greener over the other side, the teachers can go. But you can't give them a blank cheque. Otherwise, you know, we'll get it all the public sector workers.
And that's the fine balance, obviously, as a government we need to make, is to make sure that it's attractive. It's a profession. I have to say, personally, myself, I've had concerns for the profession because, not all comments around teachers is positive. I want to keep the positivity there. Our teachers are great. They're doing a fantastic job. What we need to do is make sure it is the right appropriate level of pay and retention going forward for the future of our island. It's our youngsters, and we need to make sure we've got teachers in front of them. I am aware that parents are getting frustrated, and it is a fine balance, and we have to bring a package forward that's acceptable to all. And as I say, we have imposed this. It will be in teachers' pay, initial uplift from the 1st of July, and the back pay will be there to the 1st of September last year in August. And I think that's a key way forward to show our teachers that we are investing in them. There's a full funding review taking place as well. The government has committed to that. That is currently out there. And I think these are all key ways forward to make sure the right funding is in place for the future education of our children, and also to support teaching going forward.
Okay. David, what will be your message to Geraldine O'Neill?
Wake up and smell the coffee. Think what this country Ireland has been through over the last 2 years. Teachers are not in a unique position. And I would tell the message I would say to her is what the president of the NEU, the National Education Union, said at the Manx Labour Party AGM a couple of weeks ago. He said it wasn't a bad offer, and that's why his members accepted it.
Okay.
The trouble we've got at the moment is a number of teachers have joined both unions. And you don't have to pay, I believe, a fee to join for the first year for the NASUWT. So it's a no-brainer for a lot of teachers to join that union. They can have a foot in both camps.
Okay, all right. David, thanks for that call today. The whole issue, and it seems like this problem with teachers' pay has been going on. Well, it has been going on for years. It was pre-COVID.
It has, Andy, and that's why we've had to move forward. I think the London Fringe I would class it probably as a first step whilst we make sure we've got a multi-deal package in place so our teachers can see we are investing in them, but we also have to balance that finally. We've got a lot of other public servants, and most important is to make sure there's teachers in front of our children and that they're happy to work for the department and support our teachers. It was always a vocation. It was never about pay. And I think it's a fair offer, and it will be in our teachers' pay in July.
Okay, a message in from Terry, Terry with an I. Hi, Terry, who just said, would Julie care to confirm, have we got enough teachers to maintain current staffing levels? Because obviously, with COVID at the moment, there are lots of pupils being sent home at Ballacamine today, certainly as well. So do we have enough teachers?
It's certainly a balance of all staff in schools. It's, you know, support staff, cover supervisors can take, do some lessons when we're short of teachers. I think the high levels of COVID are impacting at Ballacamine again today. I believe it's year 8 that have stayed home. But the head teachers are best placed to manage the resources in their schools and do so. They only come to the department if it really is a desperate, that they can't do anything else. However, the 20 cover supervisors, which we've promised, we need to get in place, and we need to find other ways of working to make sure that our children's education is not disrupted and they have them best opportunities for their futures.
Okay, I'll throw this one in. Actually, it's a question about Onken. Phil says, has the Onken butcher shop closed? Another blow to the village if it has. Has the butcher shop?
Yes, I've seen that recently, and it is a sad blow to the village. This is what we talk about when we talk about communities, isn't it? It's butchers, bakers, and post offices. People will say, obviously, there's challenges for everybody post COVID, but I am aware it has closed. I didn't have any contact about it, I have to say. It's just something that I've seen on Facebook when I have the odd occasion to check Facebook.
So. Is there any possibility, another question about Onken, of something like Kenyon's Cafe coming back?
Well, certainly that's still there. It's in the hub. I know it's not been accepted as well as Kenyon's, I don't think.
What was special about Kenyon's?
I think it was the old style building and a bit more rugged than perhaps a new shiny place. I've been to the new Kenyons. I spent time there one night with two of the commissioners and some of the staff. And it's not very big. It's modern, but youngsters sometimes just want an old sort of, sofa to sit on and chat to their friends. So it's a balance. It's not big enough. I think that's probably the biggest challenge that Kenyans have got.
And that problem age group between, let's just say, 12 or 13 to 16, 17, when They don't want to go in pubs. They can't go in pubs legally as well, but they want to behave like adults. Teenagers of that, they've always done that. And of course, the devil makes work for idle hands. If there's not something around to soak up that energy and spirit, it will spill over elsewhere.
It will, and I think the local authority, the commissioners have got a key part to play in this. They're there to provide services within the community. They've done that. There's lots of great groups. You know, we've got Onken Silver Band, there's the Scouts, there's big Scout contingency in Onken. Could there be more? Yes, there could. Was there when I was younger in Onken? Probably not. You used to head to the big city of Douglas.
What did kids do? I mean, when you were knocking around Onken as a younger teenager, what was there then?
So, as I say, I was into ballroom dancing, so we were quite busy with that. There wasn't really anything in Onken. And, you hear about the behaviours of youngsters. When I was a youngster in Onken, on a Thursday or Friday, you'd hear of the rumours of, the Ramsey gang are coming into Onken for a fight this weekend, or the Poros gang. These are not new behaviours. But what I think the expectation is that these things have to be provided for them. Groups of my friends, when we were younger, we used to hire the Braid Hall. I was in the Southern Young Farmers. We'd hire the Braid Hall. We'd have our own, record player, and we'd entertain ourselves. I think there's an expectation that should all be provided by government now, and that shouldn't be the case. We need to make sure we're building great communities where people can access all sorts of activities.
Julie Edge, MHK, Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, is live on Man in Line today. If you want to give us a call on 66 13 68, lots of text to come through in a moment as well on 166 177. The WhatsApp's on as well, and you can email studio@manxradio.com.
There's only one name you need when it comes to scrap. Castain Scrap Metal. Castain will scrap all metal, and they're licensed to scrap all batteries, including dry cell and lead acid batteries. To get the best prices of copper, lead, aluminium, catalytic converters, brass and more, remember one name, Castain Scrap Metal. Castain Scrap Metal. Remember one number, 801337. 801337. Castain Scrap Metal.
Every drop is precious. Water. So easy to take it for granted, isn't it? Our reservoirs supply the needs of our island, but with the effects of climate change, that's becoming more challenging every year. Manx water is the only water we have, so we need to make every drop count by using it wisely, at home, in the garden, and in general. Visit manxutilities.im to find out how you can begin smarter living, to lower energy bills and reduce your impact on our island environment.
Office World at Spring Valley Industrial Estate is home to the island's largest stockist of both office and home office furniture. With ergonomic sit-stand workstations and posture seating solutions, extensive ranges of both general and home office desking and seating, and a huge range of complimentary desktop accessories. Many popular items held in stock on island for speedy delivery or collection. Office World Spring Valley. Open 9 till 5:30 Monday to Friday. Office
World! The Health Minister seems to have his work cut out at the moment, with COVID cases significantly higher, growing waiting lists in a number of areas, and the fallout from the Ranson Tribunal. On agenda tonight, Minister Laurie Hooper joins me live to discuss giving a new 3-year mandate for Manx Care, and the Capacity Bill, which makes provision for the property, financial affairs, health and welfare of those who lack the capacity to deal with their own affairs. That's agenda tonight at 6 p.m. with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio. They say it's always good to be busy. Well, Laurie Hooper must be very, very good.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
25 to 1 with Julie Edge, MHK, live on Man in Line today. A message in said, could you talk about teaching assistants, support staff? Will they get a pay rise as well? They're working hard supporting pupils and teachers.
No, this is purely a teacher pay award. I didn't agree with this move, but support pay was moved over to the Public Service Commission, so to the PSC, and they will get their pay awards in line with the PSC, so the civil servants and other public sectors. This is purely teacher pay.
Okay, a message in. This is concerning Onken rates and the state of Onken rates at the moment. Have you got a view on the state of Onken rates?
I'm quite concerned that over 50% is for waste in Onken. So that's obviously refuse collections and the other activities they do with the Eastern Amenity site. I think that's not a good balance. I have raised that at the commissioners, and obviously always the challenge is, oh, it's because of the gate charges. I think it is an area that needs to be looked at in Onchan. You know, I'd like to see Onchan back on the map for being that lovely village that was always blooming in the summers with lovely displays of flowers and clean, tidy, no weeds everywhere, and excellent roads and pavements. But of course, there are all challenges locally and nationally.
Well, you've got a view on that. Obviously, you know, being an Onchan lass, is Onchan better than it used to be?
It's bigger. It's bigger. There's more people. Obviously, it's the second biggest conurbation of people. I don't think the investment's been going towards the people. Obviously, Onchan Park's fantastic, always has been. It is the focus for the village, but there is a lot of untidiness around the village. And I think there's a good team. You know, Ross Phillips, who's in the surveyors department, he's acting chief executive at the minute, very realistic, approaches things right. Do think we need to do some tree management around Onchan. You know, there are challenges, and obviously our footpaths, Cackens Lane always comes up, has done for 20 years. The commissioners haven't achieved anything with that, but we are working together and hopefully work with the new DOI minister, Chris Thomas, on getting something done there. Our elderly people in the elderly persons complex utilise that a lot, and there's been quite a few falls, so we need to make sure it's safe and fit for purpose.
Okay, Kevin H said, Kevin's in Port Erin, just said, not just gas qualifications, but also electrical qualifications. I just had to go off island for further training, which is just a wider question then. Are we skilling? Have we got enough facilities to skill Manx workers for things like that? I want to say you can train to be a brickie at the college and what have you, but plumbing, electricity, gas, everybody's always going to need a plumber and an electrician and a gas fitter.
Yeah. I'm really keen to see that there's pathways on the island for people to stay on the island and do whatever career they wish for. We have just put on our website the new pathways structure so that you can get to degree level on the island. Previously, obviously, I'm not sure, it's probably about 10 years ago, but apprentices at the college, it wasn't restricted by whether you had an employer to support you. However, we do need to work with the employers to make sure that we've got the right skills, and the skills for the future of the island are key. So this new, you know, the pathways that we're developing is to make sure people can stay on island, do degrees on island, and obviously contribute to our economy, as well as still having the opportunities to go away to university.
But for things like apprenticeships, is there still that barrier to entry? Is there an academic barrier to entry for the vocational apprenticeships?
So to get onto the apprenticeship course, you do have to do the test that's required. However, there are opportunities for students, and I'm quite keen to see this developed at a younger age to get into sort of the engineering and some of these apprenticeships. However, you know, it is around making sure that it's a safe environment, and obviously we have safeguarding issues to help people. You know, in my day, children left school at 14 and went to be bricklayers or plumbers. So, there is a balance.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, there are obviously some children, some young people who may not be academically gifted, but are geniuses with their hands, and that, whether around engines or bricks and mortar or whatever.
And that's this pathway on island. We need to make sure it's right and that it can come in early, you know, that the academic getting to 16 with so many O-levels isn't for everybody. And I think we need to make sure, although you can't do an individualised curriculum for people, we need to make sure there's access to other options.
Okay, Eddie, you're live with Julie Edge, MHK.
Okay, lovely. My very first question, if it's possible, a yes or a no would do. Can you swim?
Just about.
Just about. If you were sort of out at sea and you needed, you would have to get the lifeboat and everything, you couldn't swim ashore then?
I've certainly been taught to swim by being pushed into Ballochmyne Deep End when I couldn't swim by a teacher at the time, and I learned to swim very fast. Would I be able to get in from out at sea? No, I wouldn't, but I'd expect to be on a boat with a life jacket on.
What about your husband and your kids? Do they all swim?
Certainly one of them's a bit too young at the minute, but I totally get where you're coming from, Eddie. I think you're going to say we live in an island and we need to make sure there's facilities for people to learn to swim. Yes, we do. And we need to
Would you say that's the number one priority then, to keep the pool open?
What I would say is we're doing the review and we need to make sure we've got access.
I don't want to know this review. Look, I don't want to know about the review. Just yes or no's for me, please. This program is for the public to ask you questions. I don't want a drawn-out thing. Secondly, right, so you obviously agree that everybody needs to swim. It's a must. And the south of the island need it for the footprint. They don't want to be going all the way to Douglas Ramsay or anything. The next thing is, right, that cafe, I've been involved with it indirectly for the last 30 years. And every single manager up to now has always told us that it makes a profit. So I don't believe the figures that are coming out. Right? And the next thing.
That's you to challenge as a Southern ratepayer.
Excuse me, Julie, the programme is for the people to ask you questions. Let me ask you questions first, please. And then you can answer, right? Also, you tell everybody this is a brand new board. Well, it's not a brand new board, is it? Barbara Brereton has been on this board for years. Right? The next thing. Where are we? £75,000 for a review. We don't need a review. Just ask the people who have been involved with this place. It's no good asking total strangers from across. We all know what's wrong with the place, and the answer is nothing. Somebody somewhere is trying to get shut of it. It's pretty obvious. What else have we got? There's about a million things that could go on here. The board members.
Eddie, do you think that's behind this? Do you think that somebody somewhere wants to close the Southern Pool?
Well, I do, yeah. Because somewhere they've corrupted the figures. There is no way that the cafe has lost 30,000 quid. It's impossible.
Okay. Let Julie answer that. Okay. That's quite a specific question.
Okay, Eddie. So with regards to the cafe, obviously you live in the south of the island. You can access that information through a freedom of information through your either your local authority or through the Southern Board. The figures that have been presented to me, I feel are accurate. And, you know, the department has looked at them closely, but you do have access through freedom of information to see that public, you know, information that the board are making the decisions on. The department purely gives a subvention to all of these pool independent boards to operate efficiently and effectively. Since the new board, obviously, I'm not saying all of the members are new. You're saying that Mrs. Brereton's been on there for some time. So I would be suggesting that you contact them and let them show you the figures with regards to that. And with regards to 75k for the review, I don't know the cost of the review at this point in time. I'm not sure where that figure's come from. I think that came from a gentleman caller earlier that said they'd done a review somewhere else. So, that's not factual in my opinion.
Okay. All right, Eddie?
No, I'm not finished yet. I've got one other thing.
Okay.
Could there be any way that some of the board members have got conflict of interest in this? I believe one of the board members last year resigned because he was in favour of the KWC, right? And have we got any board members now who are involved with voting for the KWC who are now voting to shut this one down?
Okay.
Am I more confident with the governance around the Southern Pool currently rather, you know, with this board? Yes, I am. But that's a governance issue, and conflicts of interest should be recorded in a register, which should be accessible as well.
Okay. And what about what I said just a minute ago about Barbara Brereton? If you need to know anything, surely you don't have to go to a company across. You can ask Barbara Brereton. She's been on the board for years.
I'm not sure she's got the qualifications to look at, the structure and obviously all the operations of all of our pools. So, however, you know, we are listening to the board. We've had meetings with the board and their concerns have been heard.
You don't have any faith in her. Why have you put her on the board?
I haven't. I think this is the lack of understanding. It's not a Department of Education appointment. It's your local authority elected people that get put on the board through your local authorities. So I think, you know, go to the chairs of your local authorities and speak to them.
The other thing, Andy, right, is I don't know any member of the public who thinks that what you're attempting to do here is right by wasting £75,000 or whatever it costs. Nobody knows that, but you're wasting public money on what we already know has got to be kept open until somebody puts in either a new pool there or something else.
Okay.
You can't shut it and not have one.
All right, Eddie, we appreciate your call today. So is this review purely for the Southern Pool, or is it for all pools?
No, it's for all pools, and you know, there are recommendations that are known throughout the industry as to the square meter of water required for population size. These are all challenges that obviously the island has on everything. It's our, you know, population size and what services you can provide. Obviously, this review will be completed hopefully by the end of July, and then it will go to the Council of Ministers and decisions will be made.
Okay. Bearing in mind Ballycommeen is desperately short of space, do you think this may result in the closure of Ballycommeen Pool and redevelopment of that site?
I'd be really disappointed to see that. Obviously, I ran the pool when I was at Ballycommeen. That came under my remit as the bursar. I know the costs at that time. It's been out of action for considerable time. Was it used to its optimum use? I would say probably not. Ballycommeen's got 10 mobiles on it. Do we need to do a review of the east provision and build, you know, the infrastructure for schools in the east? Yes, we do. You know, I don't want to see mobiles on fields. I want to see a proper strategic approach to
our schools. Ballycommeen's got some fantastic facilities, studio theatre, and the fact that it had a pool set it apart. It was a fantastic facility.
It did. And, you know, it saves students having to go off to all the pools to do that swimming activity. You know, and I know the PE staff probably would be very keen to retain it. However, we'll see what this review comes up with, you know, and what the challenges are around pools. And Ballycommeen was used as a private hire pool. You know, people did use it in the evenings for lessons. However, you do need to do that at commercial rates. And, you know, are all the pools doing it at commercial rates, or are they doing it as a sort of charitable rate?
Okay. So, all right, 11 minutes to one on Man in Line, live with Julie Edge.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The Man in Line.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells. With no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
They're guys that hire one to you.
Call Tell Skips today.
677-137.
If the costs you're being quoted to sell your house are driving you crazy, it's time to see red. CG Red is the revolutionary fee-busting service that lets you sell any properties up to £350,000 for a fixed fee of just £750. That's the lowest commission on the island. And with all the backing of Cowley Groves, the island's leading independent estate agent. Visit cgred.im now for details. Buy, sell and save when you see red!
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
Water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. Home Warm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613 210 or find us on Facebook. Home worn by EMS. Become our priority.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one. Frank, hi Frank, you're live with Julie Edge MHK.
Hi Andy, hi Julie. I'd like to ask a question, please, about the art gallery that was closed on the Prom in Douglas. Why was it closed? Because initially that was set up for the artists of the Isle of Man for somewhere to show their work. Now there's nowhere. And there's a lot of fantastic artists on the Isle of Man that do beautiful work, and they've nowhere to show their work, apart from, say, the odd time that the club holds a meeting or something, or an art gallery session.
Hi, Frank. Obviously, it was before my time that that decision was reached. I am aware that the Arts Council works very closely with the arts community, and they certainly over lockdown produced a lovely book, I think it was called Alan, with representations from artists in it. And the Arts Council do also do work in the back of the arcade. There's like a gallery area. They do display artists' work there for the arts festival. I'm not sure if that's been held already this year, but certainly the Arts Council are very keen to keep our artists and their work displayed.
Do you know why it went, Frank?
I agree with you. They do a fabulous job. But I'm just on about a particular art gallery. What happened was, it was run by different people over a different period of time. I think they had problems running the thing. But what they did, the directors of that, decided to bring artists from across with great big sculptures or big ugly things that nobody here wanted. And it was initially set up for the artists of the Isle of Man, and that's all I'm on about. It's somewhere to show the work. Now, I'm an artist. I've been an artist for 80 years. And there's now nowhere. And trying to get into the other galleries on the island is nigh on impossible, because a lot of them, they're run by very young people, and they're not interested in the art that's done.
Frank, I'm happy. I'll take that back, obviously, and speak with Marlene Masker, who deals with our arts and culture. But the whole point of the development of the Prom and the Culture Quarter in that was to make sure that our local artists and anyone in the arts, that space could become available. So, you know, I will speak to see if there is anything that can be done specifically for the locals on island outside of what they're currently doing. But they do have a great programme.
Okay, all right, Frank, thanks for that. We appreciate your call. Just very quickly here, would it be possible for the DESC to provide some sort of funding or assistance to Youth Isle of Man to provide things like youth cafes?
Certainly, obviously, the youth services, we've just actually moved the youth services so that they are actually under our sports section now to look at expanding youth services on the island. And obviously, I'll take that on board that a cafe, you know, that's similar to the Kenyans theme, really, that, you know, that is part of that. We are also hopefully opening up Ardwellan shortly again for access. So, you know, there are some great developments, some great things getting driven forward.
When will that happen, Ardwellan?
I'm hoping. It, you know, it's in the next few months. Obviously, we're just getting it set up, and there'll be an offering in place. It won't be as full as it was previously, but we will have Ardwellan back.
Okay, Jill said, could you ask Julie? Oh dear me, how are the flumes these days?
Oh, I knew the flumes would come up. Friday flume day. So, however, it's Monday. Obviously, I'm really disappointed. I've taken on this problem. We've still have one flume open. The second one is still requiring some work. What's really disappointing is we need to make sure that contractors complete jobs for the people of the island, and that's challenged, and they continue to get that complete before, in my opinion, and this is my personal opinion, should they be carrying out other works for government whilst there's so many challenges. And we need to understand what the challenges are for all across government and make sure that works are complete, because it's the taxpayer that pays for them, and they should be there and available for people, you know, for the people to use.
Messages in now just regarding courses at the college. This is Kelly, who just said, nothing for welders. Again, you've got to go to England for the course to get qualified in welding. Have you heard any more about that?
I haven't heard about welding specifically, no, but obviously that pathway that we have, I'll have a look at that to see whether welding is on there. We need to look at all careers. You know, clearly, if there is any wind farms closer in our shores in the future, welding will be certainly probably a qualification that's required, but happy to take that away and look at that on our pathway.
Okay, that's a very good point as well. When will there be an Ofsted inspection of UCM? David, that is.
Okay, so obviously Ofsted are a provider of inspections. I have said I want a baseline assessment carried out for all of our areas, not just the UCM. And that's really, it's to get that baseline data that's required to be able to progress and move forward. But more importantly, it's about progress for our young people of the island to make sure they are getting the best, excellent education to give them the options for their future. That's the key priority of the department, to make sure everybody has access to education and have an outcome at the end for their futures.
Okay, it's now June the 20th. I don't know whether you're a betting woman or not, Julie, but do you think this teacher's pay award is going to stick and there won't be any more action?
Well, obviously, it doesn't stop the action short of strike for one of the unions. I'd like to think that our teachers will work with us, our unions will work with us, and we've said we will start negotiating for the 22-23 pay straight away, and let's get a solution that settles it and everybody accepts the way forward, and that we can stabilise that situation so our children get the best teachers in front of them.
Okay, thanks for being with us today. Good to talk to you. Julie Edge, MHK, Minister of Education, Sport and Culture. And we're back with an open line tomorrow at 12 midday. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today.